Morning. My name is Kit Sheehan. Before we get started, I'd make a point or something that Herman says is that Treasury agents are trained in how to find a valid currency. They don't look for necessarily for the counterfeit points. They look for individual things. Does this bill have this? Does it have this? Does it have this? And that's what we often teach. Today what is eternal security? And I won't spend a lot of time on what it on the attacks on eternal security, but what it is. And so we have security features. They have this online on the Treasury Department. Well, they call it uscurrency.gov. So they've got so here's the $20 note. So they have a thread going down this way. They've got the a watermark, and so I brought my flashlight and a $20 bill. We can actually see if it's good. But this, the idea is we look for the things that are, not the things that are not. Let's see here. So we're looking for. See, there's the. You see the little thread there. I don't know if you can read it. I can't turn it. Anyhow, 20. It says USA 20. And then on the other side, when the light's shining right, you see the watermark of the Jackson. And then this. I don't know if I can show the ink. Right there is a bronze color, but as you turn it, it starts turning. I can't.
It goes to USA.
Yeah, the twenty that's in bronze there. Yeah, it's not doing it very well here, but if in normal light, it turns green. Pardon? Oh, sorry. Yes. But the idea is that we look for what is, not what is not. I did this eternal security thing a couple years ago, but I never finished it. And I picked up some stuff from Herman. Most of what we have here today is from Herman. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer to make sure we're filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to learn. Thank you, Father, for so many blessings that we have in Christ. We ask for help for our country, for our leaders, they might implement policies that honor you. Pray, Father, for me that you'll give me words of instruction that'll help edify. Pray that those that are listening are filled with the Spirit and that the Spirit will reveal what you want them to learn. We thank you again, Father, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was developing, I had done this before and had like 75 slides, and I've converted, or in the process of converting this to a Word document. I don't use Word, I use LibreOffice. It's free. and it doesn't have all these extra programs that want to run the lifeboat and the click to start or something, and sometimes those programs go wild and you have to reboot or something to get rid of those programs. I was developing some pages for today and I ended up with 27. And I said, well, I'm never going to
finish early.
I'm not going to finish early. But I chopped it off. I'll do those other pages plus some extra stuff next week. But like I say, what I have done is take a lot of what Herman had done on eternal security. He didn't have a handout, so essentially now I've converted that to a handout and I've edited it. So I thought it was a lot of good information. There's a quote I start with, Lewis Berry Chafer. Anyone can devise a plan by which good people may go to heaven, and we've got lots of those. Only God can devise a plan whereby sinners who are his enemies can go to heaven. And there's a quote, there's several places where you can find that quote. Eternal security is one of those basic doctrines that we all should be familiar with. It helps us orient ourselves to God's plan if we're constantly trying to be saved because we got to avoid, as the Catholic Church would say, a mortal sin. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and you had to, okay, this and this and this and this and this and this. You had that list. Any one of those, you have a mortal sin, you're going to hell. Like if you purposely don't go to church on, that you better go to confession as soon as you can because you don't want to go to hell because you missed church. So you're constantly trying to be saved as opposed to being a part of God's plan and moving forward. And so you end up with several questions, basic questions. So does the Bible define salvation or man? And we have many religions that decide, okay, this is salvation, and they define it from their perspective. And what kind of salvation does God provide? Is it a sure thing, or is it just a lottery ticket that we have to be good and in order to get to heaven? Who's responsible for the plan of salvation? Again, you've got this dichotomy, man or God. Man or God, which one are we going to depend on? And can you lose your salvation? Is personal sin greater than Christ's work on the cross? I mean, it was fun listening to Herman's sermons on eternal security. He talks about the different lists, and this is a biggie. That, in other words, for some people, a biggie is one where you lose your salvation. Well, there is no biggie. Christ took care of all sins on the cross. And so there are some things as we approach this that as a Bible church, we look at the Bible. It's the inerrant, divinely inspired Word of God. And in some cases, you go into the original languages in order to understand certain aspects of a doctrine. For instance, one of the points that Herman makes and others make is that in some of the passages, the tense, like a perfect tense, something happened in the past with enduring results. I have been saved in the past with the result that I am eternally saved. So you have the perfect tense there. So that brings it out. And of course, you know that one passage does not contradict another one. God is not a God of chaos. So when you come across a passage where someone says, "Well, see, right there, that says you lose your salvation," well, we know, and we'll see many passages where it's obvious that we do not lose our salvation. So what does that passage mean? And I think in some cases people have confused. Between salvation and walking by faith or being filled by the Holy Spirit or fellowship with God. And I think that's the problem. So I started this in 2018, and for some reason or another, I didn't get to finish with part two. So this redux, I just pulled that was a word from some of these music things where they take some music and they redo it. Well, okay, so I'm redoing it. I just threw that out there because that came into my mind. And but I didn't finish, so I've taken the original PowerPoint slides and converted them to text. And part of that has to do with people downloading just the PDF as opposed to the MP3 file, so they'll have the text that goes with it. And I thought I'd just give you some background. I took these from the slides that I had. There are several people that we look up to or look to as good theologians, people from Dallas Theological Seminary or other places. The point of these is that eternal security is a mainstream Christian doctrine. It's not something that that some cult came up with. This is something that has been there. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament, and it's something that we need to be familiar with. But I think it was. I wanted you to become familiar with some of these names, so I've quoted who they are and then given a quote from them. Apparently, Dwight Pentecost, who was a professor at Dallas Seminary, was sometimes called Dr. P. So Dr. P, as he was affectionately known on the DTS campus, began his time at the seminary in 1937 as the 100th student at the then 12-year-old school. Following graduation, he served in two pastorates, the second of which was located near Philadelphia. At that time, he also served in a part-time position at what was known as Philadelphia Bible Institute. That assignment, particularly during the raging debate over the end times, convinced him to return to DTS for additional study. As he completed his doctorate in theology, the seminary president at the time, Dr. Walvoord, invited Dr. P. to join the DTS faculty, where he served until his death. Now, from 1958 through 1973, Dr. P. served concurrently as a DTS professor and senior pastor of Grace Bible Church in North Dallas. He also volunteered weekly at Luke's Closet, a ministry that provides donated clothes free to DTS students. And here's his quote, and note that each one of these professors or theologians places emphasis on this doctrine because it's so important to the Christian life. As we consider with you the doctrine of security, we recognize immediately that our security is related to the kind of salvation which God has provided for sinners. Has God provided salvation? Or has God provided a chance for salvation to those who accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Related to this is the question, who is responsible for man's salvation? Does God do a saving work for men? Or do men contribute something to their own salvation? For it stands, self-evident, that if God does the work, God will make no mistake, and there will be no failure. If man contributes something to his own salvation, man may make mistakes and may lose his salvation because he did not fulfill his obligation. That's from his book, Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. That reminds me of what R.B. Thien said, paraphrasing, so a plan is no stronger than its weakest link. And so if man's involved in this, then that's the weakest link, and man, it'll fail. Now, there's another pastor, and it's interesting that some of these people that are theologians or in seminaries are also pastors, so they have familiar. I know D.A. Carson, he wanted to continually be a pastor, but someone said he needed to be a professor, and because he had the smarts to study and learn. So, but his heart was in teaching in churches, and so did some of these other people. Here's Andy Woods. Andrew Woods, with all JD, THM, PhD, all the alphabet soup, became a Christian at the age of 16. He graduated with high honors, earning two baccalaureate degrees in business administration and political science, University of Redlands, California, and obtained a Juris Doctorate, Whittier Law School, practiced law, taught business and law and related courses, and served as interim pastor of Rivera First Baptist Church in Pico Rivera, California. In 1998, he began taking courses at Chafer and Talbot Theological Seminaries. He earned a Master of Theology degree with high honors and a Doctor of Philosophy in Bible Exposition at Dallas Theological Seminary. In 2005 and 2009, he received the Donald K. Campbell Award for Excellence in Bible Exposition at Dallas Theological Seminary. Formerly a professor of Bible and theology at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston, Andy now serves as president of Chafer Theological Seminary and senior pastor of Sugarland Bible Church. He lives with his wife, Anne, of 23 years, and daughter, Sarah. Andy has contributed to numerous theological journals and Christian books and has spoken on a variety of topics at Christian conferences. And every December there is a pre-trib conference at DFW, and he's usually there, sometimes speaking. And his quote, And eternal security is the idea that once saved, always saved. And a lot of people just haven't come to the conclusion that they are saved, even though they place their trust in Christ. And this is an issue of great debate in the body of Christ, so I wanted to really slow down and focus in on this and to get you familiar with the issue of eternal security. Because I believe that if whatever you settle on this, it shapes really your whole Christian life. Are you serving God out of fear or gratitude is really what comes down to. And a lot of people believe that they're saved by grace through faith, but then they go into their Christian lives and they say, well, all that is true, but I've got to maintain my salvation through my own works. That's how a lot of people think. And I'm trying to explain to us that that's really not what the Bible says. In other words, if you believe that you're living beneath your privileges in Christ, and here's L.S. Schaefer, I quote much from him, was an American theologian, co-founder with his older brother, Roland Schaefer, Dallas Theological Seminary, and served as its first president, and was an influential proponent of Christian dispensationalism in the early 20th century. John Hanna described Schaefer as a visionary Bible teacher, a minister of the gospel, a man of prayer with strong piety. One of his students, Charles Caldwell Ryrie, who went on to become a world-renowned theologian and scholar, stated that Schaefer was an evangelist who was also an eminent theologian. And here's his quote. The doctrine of eternal security is one of the 5 points of the Calvinist system, but is more distinguished by the fact that it is set forth in the New Testament in the most absolute terms and is there seen to be an indivisible feature of that which God undertakes when a soul is saved. Another president of Dallas Theological Seminary, John Walvoord, was a Christian theologian, pastor, and president of Dallas Theological Seminary from 1952 to 1986. He was the author of over 30 books, focusing primarily on eschatology and theology, including the rapture question, and was co-editor of the Bible Knowledge Commentary with Roy Zuck. He earned A.B. and D.D. degrees from Wheaton College, an A.M. degree from Texas Christian University in philosophy, a Th.B., a Th.M., a Th.D., and I don't know what all those mean, in systematic theology from Dallas Theological Seminary, and a doctorate of literature from Liberty Baptist Seminary. Here's his quote. The bestowal of eternal life cannot be revoked. It declares the unchangeable purpose of God to bring the regenerated person to glory. Never in the scriptures do we find anyone regenerated a second time. Here's another pastor teacher, Dennis Roxer. Dennis Roxer came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior at the age of 18 through the faithful witness of some friends. Upon later attending Beacon Bible Church in Aurora, Minnesota, he was spiritually fed and grounded in the Word of God through the expository, grace-oriented Bible teaching of Pastor Leonard Radke. Dennis was further prepared for the ministry by attending Appalachian Bible College in Bradley, West Virginia, along with graduate studies from Tyndale Theological Seminary. And here's his quote. Eternal security means that those who have been genuinely saved by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone shall never be in danger of God's condemnation or loss of salvation, but God's grace and power keep them forever saved and secure. He has a little booklet, Shall Never Perish Forever. And many of us are familiar with R.B. Thiem. Was pastor of Baraka Church, a non-denominational Christian church in Houston, Texas, from 1950 to 2003. Affectionately called the Colonel by his congregation, he was a dispensationalist theologian who wrote over 100 books and conducted over 10,000 sermons on various theological topics during his 55 years as pastor. And here's his quote. Let me get a... Can a Christian immerse himself in sin and evil and still be a Christian? Throughout the church age, pastors and theologians have struggled to explain this paradox. Some contend that perpetually carnal believers were never genuinely saved. But the Bible emphatically states that once a person expresses faith alone in Christ alone, he is eternally saved, John 3:16 and 36. Others assert that believers who continually sin can lose their salvation. But since every believer has an irrevocable position in Christ, neither sin nor evil, nor not even God himself, can separate the believer from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:39. The believer is eternally secure, forever a son and heir of God. Galatians chapter 4. Although the believer can never lose his eternal life, he can be in danger of destroying his spiritual life and losing all the blessings that God has prepared for those who love him. So what follows here is following very closely on what Herman taught when we did Romans chapter 5. And that's why I had at the top here Romans chapter 5. These were, I think, when he was talking about Romans 5, 1 through 3. So he jokingly had the introductory points before he gets to the doctrine. And once his first point in the doctrine is some additional introductory points. It's just what he is. At issue is not your point one, introductory principles, the first one. At issue is not your view of sin, but your view of God. What is your view of the work of Christ on the cross? What is your view of the work of God the Holy Spirit? The faithfulness of God, not the failure of man, is the issue. And so he's got 1 John 5:11, 13. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's in his Son, not in you, not in your being wonderful. He who has the Son has the life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. There's nothing about sin there. It's not about your view of sin, but your view of Christ. These things I have written to you in the epistle of 1 John, who believe in the name of the Son, so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's yours. You don't lose it. Point two. Having eternal security is based on the reality of the truth of the gospel. Be sure you understand the gospel. Christians still argue about what is involved in being saved. It is based upon the simplicity of the gospel. We are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And in those quotes, you heard that several times by some of the other pastors. Faith alone in Christ alone. And in that that phrase itself is includes eternal security, because it doesn't talk about sin. It talks about faith alone in Christ alone. And then comes the imputation of divine righteousness, then justification, and now you have eternal security. It's just that simple. From Romans 5, 1 through 3, knowing eternal security should affect your daily life, especially in tribulation and also in good times. So now we come to his doctrine, major point one, eternal security and his doctrine. Introductory points. A believer in Jesus Christ can never lose his eternal salvation. 1 John chapter 5. The whole book of 1 John deals with the problem of security among the believers. Some Gnostics had come in and convinced the people that if they sinned, they would lose their salvation. B. The believer cannot lose his eternal salvation by sinning, by involvement with evil, by involvement with the law, not even ceasing to believe. The believer cannot lose his salvation in any other way. Neither angels or man can cause a believer to lose his salvation. Nothing the angels can do, nothing that man does, nothing you can do to cause God to take away your eternal security. Once a person believes in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not even God can take away that life, the life of God, from the believer. One of the problems for those who think they can lose their salvation is a failure to understand the essence of God. Here's some erroneous thinking. There is a good or righteousness that you can perform that would cause God to give you eternal life. There is nothing you can do that would cause God to save you. Likewise, there is nothing you can do that would cause God to take it away. If you understand how you were saved, you will never doubt your eternal security. You will understand eternal security and live your Christian life without stress, anxiety, depression, or fear or worry. Now we get to point two. Eternal security from the standpoint of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he has three major points, one from Jesus Christ, one from God the Father, and one from the Holy Spirit. And that follows way that Ellis Chafer does in his theology on his work on eternal security. That's how he you can do it from different perspectives. In this way, he does it from the individual members of the Godhead. Salvation is based upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It cannot be undone. So condemnation, we're all under condemnation. Personal sins had nothing to do with our condemnation. We are born under condemnation. Personal sins are just the result of being under condemnation. the imputation of righteousness and result in justification. How is condemnation removed? Justification comes by faith in Jesus Christ on the cross, and you're imputed with righteousness, and at that point, God justifies you. He pronounces you justified. Romans 3:22 and 26. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It doesn't say the one who doesn't sin. It doesn't say to the one who doesn't stop believing, and if you stop believing, I will take it away. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you're born again. If you're born of the family of God, you cannot be unborn. Jesus Christ did all the work at salvation alone. Now all that man has to do is receive eternal salvation by faith alone in the Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, provides eternal salvation, provides eternal life. We're not saved, and this threw me when the first time he said it. He says, you're not saved by faith. Well, wait a minute. But he's trying to make a point here that it's not the faith that saves you, it's the work of Christ on the cross that saves you. We appropriate his work by faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved. Perfect passive participle of the verb sozo means to be saved. The perfect places emphasis on a present result based on a past action. You have been saved. Passive voice. You have received it. It is given to you by grace. Through faith. Faith is the instrument whereby we receive the work of Christ, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift, a gracious gift, of God. Eternal security is an unbreakable relationship with God. You can break fellowship with God, but you cannot break union with God. We are in Christ. Ephesians 2:9. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Forgiveness. Part of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross is forgiveness. Therefore, if we can lose our salvation, we lose forgiveness. If that were true, then God does not forgive us at the cross. It's very important to understand. We are forgiven. Resurrection. The promise of the resurrection is a safeguard against losing eternal security. Ephesians 2:5 and 6. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God the Father made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. His efficacy in heaven. He is our advocate. So, Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who was is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Jesus Christ intercedes for us when we sin. Yeah, I remember, listening to Theme where Satan would go to God, that guy sinned, and Jesus Christ says, I paid for it. So he intercedes for us. Already taken care of, paid for. 1 John 2:1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Advocate means lawyer. I remember so many of those shows on TV where you get the bad guy in the room, the interrogation room, and the first thing he says, lawyer. Well, that's what we have, lawyer. And he's right there. We have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, believers. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, by faith in him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He doesn't abandon us when we sin. He's right there to say, I paid for that sin. Eternal security is based on totally on who and what God is, not what you are. It is based upon God, of what God did and does, not upon what you did or do. Major point three, eternal security from the essence of God. The love of God. God is love. What is your view of the love of God? That he would undo what he has done? reminds me of some of these shows where they have parents that kick their kids out, or in some cases disown their kids, or give their kids to somebody else to raise. Our Father doesn't do that. He takes care of us personally, always, no matter how bad we were. I think Theme has got some stories about when he messed up as a kid, and his dad didn't disown him. He might have whipped him, and that I think that's the point with some of these people that deny eternal security, is that okay, we sin. God, we're still in the family of God. That's the point. And so God is now authorized to whip us, discipline us, even to the point of death, if that's the point needed. Romans 8:38, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So he made a whole list of there. And he probably could have said, "And anything else you can think of, you ain't getting out. Once in, always in." The sovereignty of God. John 10:28, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one," this includes you, "will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Omniscience of God. He knows every sin you have ever committed, and every sin you will commit. He knew it when his Son died on the cross. Take the omniscience of God and apply it to the work of Christ on the cross. He put those sins on Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, the omniscience of God knew every sin that we would ever commit when he judged Jesus Christ on the cross. There were no surprises. The omnipotence, all-powerful God. Again, back to John 10:28, "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." You have double security. First of all, we are in the hand of Jesus Christ. No one can get us out of the hand of Christ. But you know, God's hands are over that. You are not going to get out of anything you do, or anything anyone else or angels do. No one is going to get you out. So eternal security is a relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Those who doubt their salvation and that they can lose it, it is their view of God, not their view of sin. Eternal security is wrapped up in the relationship of God the Father and of Jesus Christ. John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." That comes by faith in Christ. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Psalm 37:24, "When he falls," that is sin, horrible sins, "he will not be hurled headlong." Why not? Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Eternal security. So eternal security is all through the Bible, although we concentrate on the New Testament. Romans 4:21, "And being fully assured that what God has promised, he was able to perform." And there's a long passage there for Romans 8. We've already covered some of that. Romans 14:4, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." 2 Timothy 1:12, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until this day." Don't we have a song that we sing that says that? That song is eternal security. It's not up to you and me to hold on to this. It's not up to you and me to hold on to eternal life. It's up to God, not us. And God is faithful. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. The eternality of God. God is eternal. And the life he has given to us is eternal life, everlasting life. From the moment you believe in him, everlasting life, it means we have the life of God at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, and you can never lose it. You have eternal life. To those who do not believe in eternal security, believe that you can lose yourself, your eternal life, your eternal security. Really? They just say that no one is really saved until they die. They don't really know. No, people, you can know. You believe in Jesus Christ, you are saved. You have eternal life. The immutability of God. This is the unchanging character of God. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. According to Herman, what is this referring to? It's a refusal to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's the true issues. The next verse. If we are faithless, this is a believer. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If you like the expression, once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints, or whatever you like, it is the eternal security we have because God cannot change. Once you are saved, you are saved. He doesn't take it away. The faithfulness of God. It is so vital to your life as well as your thinking on eternal security is your view of the faithfulness of God. Things happen in your life. People might say, God isn't faithful anymore. He was faithful when everything was going well. Now that everything's not going well, he's not faithful. Huh? He's immutable. He doesn't change. That means he's unchangeable. Do you believe that? Yeah, except when you put that with his faithfulness. I don't really like those two combined, according to this person, because it doesn't seem like he does. People, if he's immutable, his faithfulness is immutable. You just don't see what he's doing. So vital to our life is seeing the faithfulness of God. God does not lie. God does not change. It's interesting sometimes when you see these disasters. Was it Friday, the tornadoes that went through Texas? There was on one channel, people, when this happened, they said, I prayed to God, and he responded, and then I'm saved. Or other people that were, you looked at their house, and there's nothing left. And this one kid was apparently underneath some wood and stuff, and he thought he was in the field across from his house. And then he got out of it, and he looked around, this is my house. There's nothing left except boards and stuff. But he wasn't injured. And I think they gave God the credit and thanked God. Sometimes we need situations like that to get us back. Sometimes we're out of fellowship and God will tap us on the shoulder, and sometimes it's a little stronger than just a tap on the shoulder. Okay, God, I've been forgetting. I'll walk by faith. I'll get back in your plan. But God's faithfulness is immutable. Sometimes we just don't understand what's happening until later sometimes. And you've got the part of John 3:16, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the faithfulness of God. You can hold on. Can you hold on to that? John 5:24, truly, truly, you can believe the teaching of Jesus Christ, because this is Jesus Christ talking. I say to you, he who hears my word, the gospel, and believes him, God the Father, who sent me, Jesus Christ, has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Where am I? 17. Oh, okay, I'm getting surprise, surprise, I may finish early. How did I do that? So let's look at three things for the one who believes. He comes into eternal life, does not come into judgment, has passed out of death into eternal life. God's faithfulness was the problem with the believers in the Gospel of John. The issue of 1 John 1:9 is John 1:8, and 1 John 1:8 says, they denied they sinned. Why did they deny they sinned? Because if I sin, the Gnostics told them, if I sin, God will take away my eternal life. Don't deny that you sin. Your problem is your view of God. So let me tell you about God. He's faithful and righteous. He is not faithful to you. He's faithful to the work of his Son on the cross. He's already forgiven. He's already cleansed. That is the understanding of 1 John 1:8 and 9, the faithfulness of God. You have to understand what sin is and what it is not. 1 John 2:5. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. 1 John 5:11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Why is this in 1 John over and over? Because they had a problem with eternal security. They just knew that if they sinned, God was going to take away their salvation. So He tells them over and over and over again, this is not going to happen. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. How much more direct can He make it than that? We've already looked at Psalm 37:24. Now Romans 4:21. And I'm quoting a lot of passages because I want to be sure you have them in front of you. So somebody says, why do you believe in eternal security? Well, you can say, right here, right here, right here, right here. It says so. And God's Word doesn't lie, does it? Nope. Romans 4:21. And being fully assured that what God has promised, He was able also to perform. Eternal security from the standpoint of the work of the Holy Spirit. We have eternal security because of the work of the Holy Spirit at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Regeneration, born again, born from above, Titus 3:5 and John 3:36. You cannot be unborn. And I think I did something a couple years ago on the ministries of God the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Essentially, that's what we're talking about, the things that God the Holy Spirit did that are essentially related to eternal security as well as our salvation. What kind of salvation do we have? Eternal. So the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. At the point of faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit seals us, seals every believer. This is like being branded by the divine brand. It designates that we belong to God the Father. The sealing guarantees the ownership of the believer by God the Father, and no one can take us away. No one can undo the brand. I've read stories of in the West that people, cattle wrestlers, they had to find a way to rebrand something and change the brand there and make it something else. But nobody's going to unbrand us. We belong to, it's imprinted in our souls. Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. It's not up to us to hold on to this. It's up to God. We are sealed for all eternity. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. And then we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of believing in Jesus Christ, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. Forever. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You may never enjoy Him. You may never walk in His power. You may never walk by faith in Him. But He is there. It's like having $1 million in a bank account and never use it. And so many believers are that way. They don't, I'll just call God when I need Him. Well, we have a relationship, as others from this pulpit have said, it's a relationship with God. And we have this amazing relationship where we can go to God the Father, call Him Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, and goosebumps. I can talk to the Creator of the heaven and earth as Father. It's amazing. We have this relationship. And the more you exercise that relationship, the more intimate it can become. So you begin to see that God is working in your life every day. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. This occurs at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Is this the last page? No, that's it. And so this occurs at any time. It's so instantaneous. Those are things that that the Holy Spirit does, and there were additional things that we could have added. I'm surprised that I had sometimes I have 15 pages and I end up at the same time, and now I've got 21 pages and I ended up at the same time. How is that possible? Like I said, I'll continue next week with Herman's dealing with the doctrine of eternal security. And then I kind of like the way Theme did it, and I think Herman kind of references is that, but I will try and go through the individual passages and explain some of those passages so that you have those cemented in your mind. I do have a list of those passages that some people say, well, look at this, well, look at this. Well, just because you have a single passage, perhaps you haven't understood it. Are you talking about rewards? Are you talking about the death, sin unto death? There's a lot of things that if you understand the passage correctly, it's not a problem for eternal security. But you have to understand it. And so like the treasury thing, we emphasize what it is, but at some point you'll begin to see, well, here's people that are trying to counterfeit it, and well, here's what you use against that is this is what eternal security is. I remember problems at as a new believer at Florida State, that there were people that went around trying to get new Christians to unbelieve, what about this? Oh, look at this passage. And that because they didn't understand or didn't know what the passage said, then they oh, wow, I didn't know about that one. Well, that's why we study the Bible, so we understand our salvation, we understand eternal security, we understand that we walk by faith, dependence on the Holy Spirit. We understand these things. We understand the Christian life, and so that's important to walk by faith, but to also study. I guess that's all I've got. Any questions? Let's end in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being able to study and teach and grow in grace. Pray that these words go out to those who listen, and if there's someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, that they be challenged in their souls that salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. And that's it. Not by works, not by something else, just by faith, trusting His work on the cross. And then you have eternal security. Thank you again, Father, for your blessings. Pray that you'll bless this church and let it continue. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.